Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in His bosom gather, listening bread not star in heaven, such a refuge here was given. God His own doth tend and nourish, in His holy courts they flourish. From all evil things He spares them, in His mighty arms He bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord His children sever. Unto them His grace He showeth, and their sorrows all He knoweth. Though He giveth or He taketh, God His children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy.
Our capacities, having worked long, hard hours myself, and then having come in to sit and listen, I know the weakness of the flesh. I need to remember that. Given one man in the Scriptures that I would like to be like, one man other than our Lord, God-man, one man that I would like to be like, I might say John, the Apostle John. For one thing, the Scriptures calls him the disciple whom the Lord loved, beloved to Christ. It seems that John had a special and close relationship with the Lord. He was a lover of Christ, always close to Him, literally close, leaning on his chest there in that upper room. He was a faithful man. John was a faithful man. You know, all the disciples left him, yes, but John. John was at the foot of the cross with him. We forget that fact. John didn't leave him. Faithful. And therefore, I believe the Lord made him a ruler over many things. The Lord gave John insight as he did no other. The Revelation. What a profound book that he revealed through his servant John. He was a man who walked with Christ very closely, and anyone who walks very closely with Christ walks like Christ. Is a man like Christ. And I know that too from his writings. Because Christ was a lover of his people. He loved his people. I love that scripture. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And this is a characteristic in John's writing here, isn't it? He loved the people so much so he called us. He called us, because it's a general epistle, he called us beloved 5 times throughout this epistle. Beloved 5 times. Verse 1, he says, "My little children." My little children, and we've seen how that he calls us little children, and we shouldn't resent that, should we? Little children, our Lord said, except we be converted and become as little children, we shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. We're called little children to humble us. We need humbling. We need to be humbled before we approach the Word of God every time. We ought to be humbled as little children and receive the Word as little children. He calls us little children to remind us what our Lord said, except you be converted and become little children. And he says this in affection. Show of affection, my little children. There's nothing more dear and precious than a little child, is there? Nothing more dear and precious to a parent than little children, than babies. And he says, I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. He talks as a father would to a child, very plain language. Don't sin. Don't do that. Don't sin. But if you do, son, if you do, daughter, if you do, don't despair. You've got an advocate. And he's a good one. He's with the Father. He's the judge's son. He's our advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. But don't sin. If any man does, though, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. And he tells us we need not worry, because this advocate is a propitiation for our sin. Now jump down to verse 12, and this is where we left off. And he says, I write unto you, I'm writing unto you, little children. I write unto you. And he said that in verse 1. He says it here. I write unto you, you, to believers. This all applies to believers only. I write unto you. See that? Very plain. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. I write unto you, fathers. I write unto you, young men. Fathers, you've known him. Young men, you've overcome the weak. I write unto you. Who's he writing to? Believers. That plain? All right. Behold, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon who? I write unto you. You see how clearly it is that God's Word is written to his people. That doesn't apply to everybody without exception. What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God? Who? You little children whose sins are forgiven. You fathers who have known him. You young men who have overcome the wicked by faith. Isn't that very clear who he's writing to? No, he says, I write unto you little children. Little children. And this is written to encourage young believers. He's not talking to little young people, necessarily, in age. He's talking of babes in Christ. Young believers. Young believers. And young people, actually, if they believe Christ. And he says, I write unto you young believers, you babes in Christ, you weaklings. Youngsters, children are weaklings, aren't they? Weaklings? Well, that's all right. That's a good place to be. Because when I'm weak, Paul said, then he's strong. I'm strong. See, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Listen to some fool who called himself a preacher. Some charismatic fool said, got entirely too much weakness in the church today. We need more power. I thought we got too much power. We need more weakness. They don't need Christ, you see, whose strength? Well, weaklings, babes in Christ, they have a great need for a great Christ. And so as he says here, I write unto you, babies, because your sins are forgiven you. Well, he doesn't say, no, you babies ought to grow up, although we should. said that in Ephesians 4, that we should grow up in Him in all things. He said, don't be children in understanding, be children in malice, but not in understanding. He, one place He said, you ought to be men, teachers, but you've come dull of hearing and need milk all over again. But He doesn't say that here. John doesn't say that in a derogatory fashion here. He says, little children, I'm writing unto you, your sins forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Little children, like I said, are weak. They feel like they can't do anything right. Can't do anything right. Well, He says your sins are forgiven. They're all. Did you hear what the Lord Jesus said to me? They're all taken away. For His name's sake. You see that? Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Whose name's sake? For Christ's sake. There's a covenant between the Son of David and all His Jonathans. There's a covenant for His name's sake. His name's sake. Christ's sake. Because Christ came and took on the likeness of sinful flesh. Because Christ was made sin for us. Because Christ bore the awful wrath and punishment of God for our sin. Because Christ poured out His soul unto death. Because Christ strove unto blood against sin. Not His, ours. Because of that, your sins are forgiven you. They're forgiven. They're gone. They're gone. All forgiven. In spite of all you've done, young fella, your sins are forgiven. Isn't that good news? Huh? In spite of all you have not done, that's forgiven too. For His name's sake, for Christ's sake. Isn't that motive enough to serve Him? Little children, and I say this to little children actually. We don't have many in here. We have a couple. Little children. You're sinners, and you trust Christ, your sins will be forgiven you too, for Christ's sake. And what could constrain us more to forgive others than the fact that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us? Huh? The love of Christ should constrain us. The forgiveness, the pardon of Christ should constrain us. He said that. Pray. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And He went on to say, for if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father, Heavenly Father forgive you yours. So what better reason do we need to forgive others than the fact that He's forgiven us everything. Everything. Youthful foolishness. Youthful ignorance. Youthful lusts. And oh, that our young people would remember their Creator in the day of their youth. I would love for the Lord to do a real work of grace in the heart of some child in our midst. That would cause us exceedingly great joy. Exceeding great joy. And I can't help but think of what youthful exuberance and stamina, how it could be put to such good use for the cause of Christ. You pray that the Lord might raise up a young Samuel or a David here. Be a good thing to pray for, young Samuel. They come along every now and then. Verse 13, I write unto you fathers. Fathers, I'm writing to you because you have known Him that is from the beginning. You have known Him. I'm writing to you believers, you older men, you fathers, fathers of the faith, church leaders, that you know Him. He says, you know him. I write it unto you because you know him. And that's eternal life. That's what our Lord said. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. You have known him that is from the beginning. You have known God. You have known God's Son. You know who he is. You know what he did. You know what he's like. You know whom you have believed. And you are persuaded that he is able. And you are grounded and settled. And you are unmovable. And you are unshakable in the faith. God give us men like that. God give us fathers like that. I believe there are some. He says, I'm writing to you, fathers. And he writes this to encourage. But he also, this is an admonition. I'll be very convicting. Fathers in the faith. Fathers in the faith. Fathers. Father figure. Father figure is a man you can look up to. A man of exemplary character, a man of exemplary speech and behavior, a man of exemplary in his service and his attitude and his faithfulness and diligent service and his knowledge. And he's a man that children can look up to. It's a real pattern, a real example to others, a real example. Someone that can be emulated. Someone that young people can look. I remember quite a few growing up. Quite a few men that I could really look up to. Men that I still look up to. Men are still faithful. They've known him. There's no passing fancy with them. There's no theological head knowledge that they had. They know him. They knew him then and they know him now. And they know him more than ever. And they're still with him. They're still walking with him. That's what I want to be like. When I get 50, when I get 60, if I get 70, may our young people see me as remaining faithful. Father, you know him. You know him. I write unto you. Be an example. We need some leaders, don't we? We need some leaders. We sure do. I want to be one. I want you men to be one. Well, you have known him. And he says, I write unto you young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. Young men, you have overcome the wicked one. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look over there real quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, I'm writing to you young men, who trust Christ, who believe Christ, who follow Christ in a day when there are very few young men doing so. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. How's that? Say, I haven't overcome the wicked one. Well, this is that which overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh? He that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. And young men, especially, are the target. Young men are the targets, objects of the adversary. Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh through the earth seeking whom he may devour, and his primary principal targets are young men. Young fathers. Because that's the heart of the church. Heart of the church. And he assaults them on every hand. And it's a blessed thing when there are young men who truly trust Christ. And through faith are not walking with this world, but walking with Christ. A rare thing. A rare thing. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, he says to a young man named Timothy, flee youthful lusts, flee them, run from them like Joseph. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In another place he said, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in another place he said unto young Timothy, be thou an example unto all. Be an example, 1 Timothy, to all believers in word and conversation and love and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Lord God, I pray that he would raise up faithful young men in our congregation. And I believe he has. But oh, that he would raise up more and strengthen the ones that he has. And I prayed to the end a while ago, and I feel led and hope you will too, that the Lord will raise up a man to preach the gospel here. We need a man to preach the gospel to help out around here. All right. He says, I've written unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one through faith and Christ. I write unto you. Back in the text. I write unto you, little children, again, by way of double encouraging young people. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father too. You've known him too. You babes in Christ. You say, I don't know the Father. I don't know Christ. I don't know God very well. You don't? Did you see anything of the glory and the beauty of Christ this morning in that message? In a young babe in Christ in here see the glory of Christ in that message this morning? Did you rejoice in it? Huh? Did you worship God a little bit, rejoice in Christ this morning? I believe you know him. I believe you know him. And these things are written unto you. Your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And because you have known the Father. Don't despise. Who had despised the day of small things? And I don't ever want to be guilty of discouraging weak faith. Weak faith. Weak faith will save you the same as strong faith. Simple childlike trust. Well, that is faith. That is faith. And it really never rises much above that. Simple, childlike trust in Christ. You say, but I'm such a sinner. You trust Christ? I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And because you have known him that is from the beginning. Verse 14. And I'll wind this up. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong. You're strong. Or at least ought to be. Or at least now is the time when you have that strength. But you ought to remember your Creator. You have that strength, that stamina, and resiliency in which, you know, the Lord called his disciples when they're all in their early 30s, didn't he? Those 12 apostles, all of them were apparently in their early 30s. Why? They're young, strong. He sent them out with the gospel. Because man gets older, he can't do the things that he did when he was a young man. How do we need to be strong? Well, we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Strong in his service. Strong in his work. You're strong. Now's the time of strength. Put on strength, he said. The word of God said, put on strength and use it for something besides your own personal goals and ambitions. Use it for him. You're strong. Now's the time. And the word of God abideth in you. A young man, I remember my father-in-law one time asked me a few years back how old I was. I said, 35. He said, oh, to be 35 again. He said, you're in your prime, physically and mentally. Your faculties, your mental capacities, your physical capacities, it's at all you're in your prime. Don't waste it. 35. Well, he says, you're strong and the word of God abideth in you. Those young apostles, boy, they did their finest preaching in those early years. They went out preaching. Word of God abideth in you. Abideth in you. You've overcome the wicked woman. I write unto you. And in closing, let's read these next two verses, or three verses. Love not the world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. Don't pursue the world. Well, that is the direction the world's headed. Don't go with the world. Young people, don't do it. Don't do it. You'll get what the world's got coming to it. The Lord says He's going to fold this thing up like a vesture. Be done with it. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. And I've said this so many times before. It's not that things, anything wrong with things or possessing things. It's something wrong, though, when they possess you. And that's what love is. Love is a possessive thing. Love possesses you, and those whom you love, you want to possess. And that's the sense of what he's saying there, and I'm going to dwell on that more next Sunday morning. But don't love the world. The world hates your God. The world hates Christ. The world hates everything that's good and holy and godly. And it's running the opposite direction. Don't run with them. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, that is, absolutely has an insatiable desire and craving and possessive appetite and desire to be in it and with it and of it. The love of the Father is not in it. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life, that's not of God. That's of the world. It's of the world. See, the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Pray that God will make you covet the things of God. Verse 17, the world is going to pass away. It passeth away. That's present tense. It's passing away. And the lust thereof. All the desires, are going to come a time when you get old and worn out, and these things aren't going to appeal to you anymore. Oh, that they were wise and consider their latter end. Oh, that they would remember their Creator in the days of their youth. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To do the will of God is to believe His Son, to trust His Son, to follow Him, keep His commandments. Little children, it's the last time. It's the last time. It's the last time. And we could turn to passages that make it very clear that these are the very last of last days. But little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, and it's in religion. That's where it is. Whereby we know that it is the last time. And lastly, look at the last verse in 1 John. Look at the very last verse. He starts it out talking to his little children, spiritual children, and he ends it up with this in this way. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Keep yourself from idols. Amen. Okay. Stand with me and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these simple, yet profound, yet much needed words of comfort. Our sins are forgiven us. Encouragement, we've known Him that is from the beginning. And conviction and admonition, correction. We're strong. Lord, we don't feel strong. At times we don't act like we know Him. Our sins are ever before us. But thank You, Lord, through His name's sake, they are forgiven. Thank You, Lord, that we're made strong through weakness. Thank You, Lord, that Christ is our strength. Thank You, Lord, that we do know Thee. We ask that You'd cause us to know Thee more, to grow in grace and the knowledge of Thee. Lord, I pray for the babes in Christ in our midst, young believers. Give them assurance of their interest in Christ and their full, complete, final, eternal salvation in Him for His name's sake, for Your glory's sake, for their good. Lord, I pray for the fathers. I pray that You might raise up faithful, diligent fathers that are examples to our young men, examples to all of us, leaders in this church. They might instruct our children in the ways of Christ. Pray for faithful fathers. I pray for young men and young women. Lord, use us now before the world uses us up. Use us now for Thy glory and Thy honor, since now is the strength of the flesh. So use us, Lord, for Your glory. It's our reasonable service that we present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, right now. Dear Lord, it's by the mercies of God we want to present ourselves as such. I pray for this church, Lord. Hold it up by Your grace, by Your mercy, by Your power, by Your gospel. Strengthen us by Your word. In Christ's name, we're met together this day. We thank You for this word. In His name, amen. You're dismissed.